You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
I do want to welcome all of those who are joining us on podcast. We are thrilled to have you joining our church today. Deuteronomy chapter 1. If you're not there, find Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, when we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on. The truth is, it was about a month or so ago, I was preaching, and I read across this verse in the course of my sermon. And some of you were there. I stopped right in the middle of my sermon, and I just started staring at that verse. And I said out loud, this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now, but coming soon, there's going to be a sermon on break camp and move on. Some of y'all are nodding your head. You remember when we did that? I had a very difficult time preaching the rest of the sermon I was into because this verse was exploding in me. And so while I was preaching, I was writing this sermon. So welcome you today's message entitled Break Camp and Move On. We're studying in the Old Covenant, and we read about it in the Old Testament. We study that step by step because it reveals and explains, it shows us the New Covenant. The Old Covenant is the blueprint for the New Covenant. All the Old Testament is it's a series of stories and events that reveal principles, that reveal vital keys of the New Covenant. It's a blueprint. And no builder just goes out on a building site and starts nailing boards together and pouring some concrete on the ground. There's a blueprint. There's a blueprint that you can show the builder. There's a blueprint you can show the homeowner. Here is the coming plans. Here is what we are building here. And that's exactly what God does through the Old Testament. This is a blueprint. I want to show you the coming covenant. I want to show you what is going to be built here in our lives. So we start out in Genesis 1 and 2. God created all that is here. God created a place, if you remember, and he called it the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. It was beautiful. God created mankind, and he placed us in that garden, and that's where God planned on man living, was in a perfect environment. Fact is, it never rained your picnic out. When Adam and Eve wanted to go on a picnic, they never had to worry about rain because water rose from the ground and watered. So it never even rained your picnic out. God told mankind what not to do. Y'all know the story. Mankind did it anyway, brought sin into the world. And now one man brought sin into the world. We all live our lives in what we call a fallen world. We live our lives in a world that is not perfect. And when you're asking God, why this hurricane? Why did this earthquake? Why this heart attack? Why did you let this cancer happen? Why? I would imagine God may be scratching his head and asking you the same question. Why'd you let this happen? I told you what not to do. Don't be a God, why'd you let this hurricane happen? God's saying, why did you do this? This wasn't my plan. This wasn't what I planned for mankind. That wasn't God's plan. And I want you to know, and you need to know this, people are not perfect. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. They say things they shouldn't have said. They act in ways they shouldn't have acted. I want all of our teenagers in here to know, parents are not perfect. They're not perfect. They'll handle you in ways they shouldn't have handled you. They will say things to you they shouldn't have said. They were wrong in the way they did that. Your dad is not perfect. Your mom is not perfect. They will disappoint you, and they will make mistakes, and they will say things they shouldn't have. Let me tell you about your teacher in school. Teacher's not perfect, except for Angela Kern. We know that. But all of the rest of the teachers, all the rest of the teachers in the whole wide world, they're not perfect. They're going to give you a grade you didn't deserve, and they're going to misgrade your test, and they're going to whip you, and they should have whipped the guy next to you, and you were perfect, and you didn't do anything, and they should have whipped him, but they whipped him. But they make mistakes. People are not perfect in the fallen world that we live in. What we read in the Old Testament, God's kids, through a series of events that weren't good, sin-filled events, they found themselves enslaved in Egypt. It was a bad situation. Now, some of you remember the historical event listed in the Old Testament. After 400 years of slavery, God raised Moses up. He raised Moses, and Moses led the Hebrews, God's kids, out of slavery in Egypt. You read about this in Exodus, and that's a picture of Jesus bringing us out of slavery to sin. That shows us what's going to happen in the coming new covenant. It was just God's grace. It was God's love. He delivered them. He set them free, and he led them out of slavery. It's a perfect picture. It's God's grace. It's God's love. They couldn't help themselves. They couldn't get out of the mess they were in. They could not free themselves. They were enslaved. So they couldn't free themselves. So it was all God's grace, all God's mercy. It was nothing they did. God just came in while they were yet sinners and delivered them. What a picture of our salvation. Now they were to leave there and go straight to a blessed land. A land that the Bible says flowed with milk and honey. It blessed. But instead, they griped and they complained and they murmured and they rebelled against God. And because of their disobedience, because of their sin, they found themselves camping and traveling around and around a mountain, Mount Sinai. And the fact is, they did that in the desert for 40 years they lived out there. Here God's kids were, given by God the promised land. Here God's kids were. They were promised a great life. They were promised a blessed life. They were promised a land flowing prosperous with milk and honey. And they're living in a desert. Dry, mundane, ugly. I mean, I'm talking about a desert. Told by God. Provided for by God that they were going to live a blessed life. Yet their life was anything but blessed. They camped there. Camped there for some 40 years. You look in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy opens in verse 1 and it says Moses is speaking to the people. And then in verse 2, it says normally it takes 11 days to make the trip from the wilderness to the land of blessing. And after 40 years, the people were still camped in the wilderness in the desert. You know, as I read that, so often we find ourselves right there today. I mean, you're in church. You're saved. I mean, you've been delivered. God's grace, God's love, he saved you. You know it. You remember when he did it. You talk about when you got saved. You talk about, you remember the time when God really touched you and you're saved. You come to church. And you come to church and you hear about a blessed life. You come to church and you hear about living a life in a land that just flows with prosperity, that God has a good life for you. You're told that God wants to bless you, that God has blessed you. You're told about a wonderful life, yet you look around and the life that you're living right now is pretty much wilderness living. You're in a desert. Your life could be described like, I'm in a desert. I'm living in a dry, thirsty wilderness. It happens to all of us. We just call it like it is. We let a little sin in. You begin to let sin make your decisions. You begin to let sin control your thinking. Now you're saved. You're delivered. Yet you're angry. You know all the scriptures about anger. You know God doesn't want you angry. You know God is against you being angry. You know all about that, yet you're still just dadgum mad. I want to be. And I'm going to still be mad. You know that's not what you ought to do. You know that's not the way you ought to think. But you're mad, and you're still mad, and nobody can get you out of being mad because you want to be mad. I'm just mad. I don't know, whatever it is. You know all about unforgiveness, and you know what the Bible says about unforgiveness, but there's somebody in your life you're not forgiving. You're not going to forgive. I'm not. You already know, but you're just not going to walk in forgiveness. Maybe you're frustrated. I don't know. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe your moods, you're just in a constant mood swing. Maybe you're just irritable. Maybe you mean. Everybody tells you you're mean. I'm not mean. Yes, you are. You're mean. You're just mean. You know you're mean. Everybody tells you you're mean, but you just like being mean. Maybe you're jealous. Maybe you feel left out from the in crowd in school. You know there's an in crowd in school, and you're left out of the in crowd in school. The point today is without realizing it, you've camped there. You've camped there. You know, things happen because of life with imperfect people. Feelings are hurt. I can't believe my best friend said this. Your best friend's not perfect. Feelings are hurt. Things happen. It's just pain. The truth is, difficult situations are fairly common for all of us. You have neighbors, you have friends, you have relatives. Difficult things happen, misunderstandings. I never said that. Well, yes, you did. Well, I never did. Well, I thought you did. Well, I don't care what you thought. I don't know what to tell you. That just is what happens. That's just the way life happens. Question is, you've now been in it, and you're going around the same mountain. How long have you been doing that? Maybe you're not today. You're not even real sure of what needs to happen for you. Okay, you're in a funk. What can I do to get you out of it? I don't know. Maybe today you're not really even sure of what needs to happen to get you out of this. You're not sure what you're waiting on. Are you waiting on an apology? Well, no. Or are you waiting on an explanation? Well, no. Do you want them to come and kiss your feet? What do you want them to come paint your house? What do you want them to do to then once again make you happy? I don't know. If you get right down to it, you don't know what you want to have done. I don't know. Maybe you're waiting on a physical change. Maybe you're waiting on somebody else to change. Maybe you're waiting on a financial situation to change. I would dare to say you probably don't even know what you're waiting on. You're just camped in a wilderness. You're in a wilderness place in your life, and you are there. You're depressed, and you've been depressed. Looking back now, some of you can't really even remember how long you've been in this funk. To tell you the truth, I can't really remember how long I've been in this cloud. I can't even remember how it's been going on a long time. Well, how long? I don't know. You don't even know how long it is you've been living hurt or you've been living rejected. But here's the point. You're living this way. You've become camped there. And this is exactly where the Hebrews, God's kids, were. They were camped here. You know, many of those folks were camped there because of the sin of their parents. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. They were born in the desert. And they have been living in the desert now for 30, 35, 40 years. They didn't do anything wrong. They were born in this desert place. And I don't even know why we're here. I hear about God's blessings and I hear about God's provision. I don't know why we're in the desert, but that's where our family is. And I don't even know why. You were born in that place. Our message today is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, "You've stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on." Verse 8 goes on to say, "Look, I'm giving all of this land to you. Now you go over there and occupy it. You go and occupy this." Terry and I have talked often about this. You know, in life, there are things that you just can't fix. For years, we've done marriage seminars and worked with married couples. And, you know, you talk and you talk and you talk and you retalk and you retalk and you retalk. And there are sometimes you just can't talk it out. It just is the way it is. Even in our own marriage, there are things that we can't seem to resolve. At some point, you just got to go on. You all the talking and all the talking and all the apologizing, whether this is in marriage or in a family or in business or with your friends, there's no more talking. Stop talking about it. Stop discussing it. We don't need to have one more meeting about this. Drop it and move on. I want you to notice here in Deuteronomy, very interesting, nothing changed. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, there was no apologies. There have been no better understandings. There's been no real change. God says, Moses, here's what you tell them. You tell them it's time to break camp and move on. It's time to break where you're camping here and move on. I came across some rather crude advice when I was preparing my thoughts on this message. And I just want to say, first of all, I'm not sure this is Sunday morning sermon material. But it really describes where we are. Now, I want to say as a precursor to my talking about this story, I live on a ranch. I'm in the cattle business. So this crude story really connected with me. I want to apologize to all of the city people who are going to find this story extremely offensive and not helpful at all. But for those of us in here who are country, and I'm talking about K-U-N-T, country folks. See, we have country people, but there's some people that go to this church that are bona fide country. Y'all just daydream a minute. I'm talking to the country people right here. A little bird was flying south for the winter, but the air became so cold that it began to freeze and it couldn't make it to warmer climate. After some time, the little bird finally collapsed in a large field where there was a herd of cows grazing. Eventually, a cow came by and dropped a pile of manure on the freezing bird. At first, the bird was upset, but then it felt how warm the manure was. Before long, the bird began to thaw out. It became so excited, it started singing with joy. A cat happened to be passing by. It heard the bird singing, followed the sound to the pile of manure, and started digging. He discovered the bird, and he ate it. I read that story, and I couldn't help but think about three object lessons here. Number one, not everyone who drops manure on you is your enemy. You need to know that. It's just the way it is. Number two, not everybody who digs you out is your friend. And number three, the most important one, when you're in manure, keep your mouth shut. There are times in your life where, maybe this is not even good for a pastor to say, but you just can't over-spiritualize the situation. We don't need a Bible verse. We don't need a scripture. I don't know what to tell you. There just isn't any answer for where you are. It just is what it is. It's life in a fallen world. Here's what you need to do. Keep your mouth shut. Stop singing about it. Romans 8:28 tells us, let what was meant for your destruction turn around and be for your good. Keep your mouth shut and let God take this situation and somehow turn it into good for you. You need to quit talking about it. You need to quit singing about it. You need to quit thinking about it. You need to quit dwelling on it. You need to quit making an issue about it. Because if you keep singing about it, somebody's going to come along and eat you. It's the way it is. It's bad, but here's the bottom line. It's time for you to break camp and move on. Keep your mouth shut. Quit chirping about it because you're about to get eaten alive by this mess that you're in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 tells us that as a Christian, we are to be controlled by Christ's love, not to be controlled by offense or mad or hurt. Verse 14 says, we believe that we have all died to our old life. There is a dying to your old life. And let me just tell you, hurt, moody, offended, unforgiveness, mad, misunderstandings, those are part of an old life. Those are part of an old, unregenerated, unrenewed, unsaved life. And we are to constantly die to that. You know, dying to self is not a one-time ordeal down at the altar in a youth revival. It's a daily process of nailing your sins to the cross. It's a daily process of taking up your cross. It's daily nailing that old man to the cross and living anew with Christ. Verse 15 tells us those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. This ain't good news, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. When you're in this dark cloud, life is 100% about you. Life is all about you. And you just want to go to the house and pull the curtains. Because you have been so wounded, you've been so hurt. You know, my pain, my need, my disappointment. And this is a crisis that we're in today. Terry and I were watching football last night, laying in bed and TV, and we started watching the commercials. And she said, babe, every commercial we see is about selfishness. Every commercial, 100% of the commercials are about you, what you need, what you deserve, what you... Every commercial that we see is woven around selfishness is the center or the bottom line of the thinking of all of the commercials. My goodness. Then we started talking about the selfish thinking that this society today is consumed with. We know some folks, their neighbors' dogs came over in their yard. And they've gotten into their trash and they've dug up their shrubs and they're in their yard. So you go over to your neighbor and say, your dogs are in my yard. They say, oh, don't worry about it. They're harmless. Let me start this again. Your dogs are in my yard. Oh, don't worry about it. They don't bite. Let me try this again. Your dogs are coming over in our yard. Oh, you know, that's just dogs. That's just the way dogs do. You know, dogs, they just roam. You can't get somebody to think about somebody else. You can try all day long. You can't generate a thought about how my dog might be affecting somebody else. You can't get an unselfish thought generated today. It's mind-boggling. It's incredible. If my dog went over and got in somebody else's trash, I'd shoot him and then probably shoot myself out of embarrassment. I'd be mortified if my dog did that. I'd be mortified. My gosh, I can't believe that my dog, you know, but we don't think about how what I'm doing might affect anybody else. We have no thought that's not a self-wired, selfish thought. And it's difficult to get today's society to think about anybody but myself. So right along with that, for us, it's what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with, the situation I'm in and where I'm. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17, as a Christian, there is a constant dying and a passing away of the way you once were. We're consumed with self. My hurt, my pain, my position in this argument or situation, it's all about me. It's how I'm affected. Today, I want to say this. I don't want to make light of anything that you have been through or are currently going through. I don't want to do that. I recognize and realize that for many of you, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the collapse of your dreams, you've experienced indescribable pain. And I understand that. And today, I don't want to appear in any way non-sympathetic. I don't want to appear non-understanding. I, and I don't want to come across as hard and mean and cold. I don't want to do that. What I want to do is I want to tell you, we live life in a fallen, sin-filled, imperfect world, and things happen. Stuff happens. You've stayed at this mountain long enough, and it's time you break camp and move on. It's time you break camp and move on. As a Christian, we have to take our thoughts off of ourselves. As a Christian, we have to take our thoughts captive and bring them in obedience to Christ. For many of us, there's not anything that can or is going to change in your situation. It is what it is, and it is the way it is. But here's what I want you to know. You don't have to live your life miserable. Here's what I want you to know. You don't have to live your life with this hurt and this pain affecting you. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, you've been at this mountain long enough. Once again, I don't want to appear cold, and I don't want to appear today hard-hearted. That's not the point of this sermon. I hurt for you, and I don't want to see anybody hurt. But church, there are times in our life where God says, there's nothing more that can be done for you here in this desert. There's nothing more that can be done for you here at Mount Sinai. The message today is, in your situation, it's time for you to break camp and move on. Y'all stand with me. Lord, today, we're sorry for the ways that we walked in selfishness and in disobedience. Lord, we're sorry for the ways that we've entertained thoughts that are clearly not of you. Lord, today we pack our bags and we move on. This situation, not going to hold us back, not one more minute. We're going in to live. We're going in to occupy. We're going in to possess the land flowing with milk and honey. Direct us and guide us as we move on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.